So the big question is this. How do most agents who don't have access to the secrets that the top agents hoard to themselves grow and prosper in today's real estate environment? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answers. I'm Pat Hyben, and welcome to Real Estate Rockstars. And now, for the review of the day.
Hey, I got a five-star review for the Certified Price Reduction course. Our CPRC, which is a hot course now, you can get this price reduction course. It's teaching you basically how to get an instant price reduction on all your listings by going to futureofrealestatetraining.com. And while you're there, you can take any of the other courses there. Tons and tons. I'm extremely satisfied after I finished the price reduction class because of all the useful scripts I gathered through this class. Mike made it really easy by giving great examples of when and how to use them. Thumbs up for sure on this class, especially if you're trying to represent your clients to the fullest. Wonderful, Jonathan West. Five stars. And that's from Jeremy Quayle. Keep the comments coming, guys. I love them. And remember, I eat feedback for breakfast. So give me a one-star review if you want, or a five-star review if you want. I don't care. And the more reviews we get, the better guests we get. So please, subscribe first, and then leave us a review or wherever you're listening.
All right, Rockstar Nation, we have a fantastic guest for you today, Mr. Bob LaChance. Bob, former hockey player, professional hockey player, Riva Global Virtual Assistant Staffing Company, and a ton of other stuff. Entrepreneur, investor, you tell me, Bob. There's like, I literally have an entire page that I don't even know where to go. So why don't we just start with what you want to tell the Rockstar Nation about you?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, thanks for having me on
the podcast. Yeah, pleasure.
It's an incredible podcast. I listen to it probably two times a week. Nice. There's a lot of incredible things that I take from this. So thank you for having me first and foremost. But
our pleasure.
Just a little bit about myself. I started investing back in 2004. Prior to that, like you said, I played professional hockey for 8 years. Fortunate enough to do that. I got drafted by St. Louis Blues. And what is it? Now I'm aging myself. Back in 1992.
Wow.
And then I went to Boston University for 4 years. Two classes short of getting my degree. So I know some of your guests have degrees. Some of your listeners have degrees. Some don't. But I'm still two classes short. I've told my kids that I will go back one day to get that degree. But today is not that day.
Nope.
But anyway, I started investing back in 2004, like I said. But prior to that, played professional hockey. And then my transition was pretty interesting. So I know many of us have different transitions from one career to the next. And the career path, it's not the easiest, as you know, right? Jumping from one industry to the next. But
sure.
If you have passion and you have that drive, you could do anything. So that's one of the things that I do tell everybody that I speak to.
Why real estate? What was it about real estate that got you involved or got you into it?
To be honest with you, the main thing was I didn't have to go back to school.
So, all right.
Yeah. I actually read a lot of, I read a lot now, but back in school, I didn't read a lot, but now I do. And I actually spent a lot of resources on education in books and listen to podcasts. So I love all of that stuff, right? I joined a couple of masterminds as well. I don't know if you do any of that, any masterminds, but I think those are powerful.
Yeah, so that's where I know Pat from is GoBundance and M1 and a lot of different masterminds around the country.
Awesome. So from that in 2004, I met my first business partner and I did a rehab to get started in real estate. And then I jumped in the short sale world. So we've done probably over 700 short sale transactions within that time.
Wow.
I also got my real estate license back in 2005. Within that time too, I started a short sale coaching program with my old business partner, who's still one of my great, great buddies and a mentor of mine. And then in 2006, 2007, we helped start another coaching program, which I'm still involved with today, which is an incredible, incredible program. But within that time, flipping properties, wholesaling, short sales, rehabs, commercial, and working with students and in my own business, I realized there was something missing. with not only my business, but with our coaching students. And that was time. Time is a huge factor in every one of our businesses. You know, my agent business as well as my investing business, time is really, really big for all of us. You know, many of us have families. Many of us, you know, we fall into two different categories. We either want a better lifestyle or life balance, or we want to grow our business.
Right.
And all of those relates to time. So back in, let's say, 2013, I got introduced to the virtual assistant world. You know, I didn't even know what a virtual assistant was, to be honest with you. And then, you know, Pat and I and everything, Pat was my old business partner. Everything that we were doing and in our coaching programs that we were working with, we always looked at, and I come from a kind of a servant background, if you will. I'm not saying that, I play even in a hockey. Do you mind if I take a step back and I bounce around?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Even when I played hockey, I was more of a playmaker than a goal scorer, right? And when you're a playmaker, you set up, obviously, someone else to score goals. And the goal scorers typically get the accolades, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's kind of funny. And when you look at that and you look through that lens, I never understood that till I got older, right? The older you get, the wiser you get. You start looking back at the things that you start putting definitions on, right?
Yeah. So,
you know, me being a playmaker, it's the same thing. I've always looked through the lens of how could I help somebody else, right?
Yeah, I love that.
So now I finally figured out back in 2013 that the virtual assistant world can be that answer to what I need in my business and what our students need. So 2014, I launched my first company. It was kind of a test company to make, and that was my virtual assistant company. That was my first virtual assistant company to find out, to see if it actually worked, right? So I did a two-year test where I created a recruiting company. This is out of the Philippines. Recruiting company, training, not recruiting company, recruiting department, training department, placements department, and an operations department.
Nice.
Right? To see how that actually worked. Yeah, because I had a background in education, not in school education, but
right.
business education. Right. So we set all that up within the Philippines, and then broke off from that one company, started our own back in 2016 because the proof of concept worked.
Yeah.
And we launched it, and now we're here today.
So what's your teams that you spoke of that are there in Connecticut? You've got an investment team, and do you have like a standard sale team, like a retail team?
It's only investing now.
Only investing, okay.
Back in 2005, I got my real estate license. You'll enjoy this story. You mind if I go off and start talking?
Absolutely.
All right, so back in 2005, I got my real estate license because it added to the investor side, right?
Sure.
And when I got my short sales, I would list those properties. And when I was list those properties, I would work with a team of agents. I listed this one property in Guilford, Connecticut, and I got 60 calls when I was eating dinner with my family. I threw my hands up and like, dude, I'm done. I am never going to list another property in my life. What I did at that point, I just referred everything out. And then I gave up my license a number of years back and just have real estate agent teams that I work with.
Got it. Okay. How many? So what's the structure of your team right now?
Yeah. So the structure of my team is I have an acquisition person here.
Okay.
And my virtual assistants do the rest of my business. Cold calling, following up, working on my direct mail. And then the calls come in. So the main thing that I have my virtual assistants do is gauge seller motivation. So because I found that that's the most tiring thing. When I first started real estate, I think I was telling you this before we started talking here, is I door knocked for a year straight. This is back
every day.
Every day. So back from 10 o'clock, 10 a.m., I'm in Eastern Standard Time, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., I door knocked. So my partner, he was my partner at the time, I first joined him, and he's like, hey, Bob, here, have a script. I'll give you a list of free foreclosures and a script. Go door knock. I'm like, all right, cool. My main mindset that back then was I want to learn everything from ground up.
Yeah. Right?
Again, I knew nothing, man.
Well, it makes sense though.
Yeah. But I literally knew nothing about the real estate industry. I was learning from him. I bought courses, invested in courses.
Didn't you feel like that was better, that you kind of didn't know what you just didn't know, and you just, that naivete, like just let you go do your thing without thinking of the fear and all the shit that could have happened?
Oh, 100%. And the way I looked at it was, I want to learn everything from ground up because now I could teach it, right? So,
right, 100%. That's a great philosophy.
And you know what's funny? It's the challenge with a lot of services. So obviously I have a service today and I also invest. But a lot of service providers don't actually use their products, right, or service, which I'm not saying every one of them. I'm saying a number of them don't, which I think it'd be great if they all do, because then your service is going to get better and better and better. Like I love when I hear, you know, individuals that actually have a service and they use their own service in their own industry, right? I think that's the coolest thing.
Yeah.
Like that, I think that's something that, everybody, that's if everybody does that, I think the services will get better and better and better.
Yeah, because they're using what they created to continue to upkeep it, change it, shift it, course correct it. Yeah, I totally agree with you on that.
Yeah, like we talked about before, is the industry changes, right? Every industry changes a little bit. The real estate agent industry has changed a lot, right? To where, it's going away from, you could only be on an island by yourself, one single agent, to teams, right?
Let's talk more about that, because that'll get us into the virtual assistant thing. Yep. Real quick, what's your team production? Like, what are you guys doing per year? Do you gauge on that? Obviously.
So here's the cool thing about me. I only want to do one deal a month on the investor side, right? I invest in syndications. I have my virtual assistant company. I work with a lot of different coaches and coaching students as well. So I do a lot of stuff behind the scenes. I have two commercial buildings as well. So I only, on the flipping side and the real estate investing side, my goal is one deal a month. That's it.
And then what's your traditional or typical profit margin from a flip today? Because I know that the flip profit margins have changed big time. I know it has for us.
Yep.
What are you looking at today?
Ours used to be $27,000.
Right? Yeah.
So that used to be our margin back in the short sale world.
Yep.
It's down to about $19,000 to $21,000.
Wow. Okay.
Yep. So I don't know what yours is, or,
are we talking, when I say flip, are we talking about a full out reno back on the retail market sold flip, or are we talking about a wholesale flip?
It's a mix of wholesale and reno.
Got it. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
And again, I'm in Connecticut. So we look at an area. So my most recent flip was in East Hartford, Connecticut, right? We bought it for, we were supposed to buy it for 85, but it ended up being 95.
Yeah.
We sold it for 140, but within there, it was a $19,000 profit. So
okay.
That's a lower end, you're talking about lower end, rather than, because we stay within the 100 to 300 mark. That's where our sweet spot is.
Okay. I would say that ours runs about 25,000 right now, but that's down from 40,000.
Right, right.
There were like 2 years ago was much bigger, bigger. What do you attribute that to? Like, what do you, besides the market shift and the natural cycles that it takes, what else do you attribute that lower profit margin to?
You know what? I think it could be their buyers or the sellers are more educated, right? There's a lot more online resources, technologies readily available and things like that. So and I'm okay with that, because as an investor, I have to make sure that I stay up on the market, right? I got to understand, number one, when I'm selling a property, how many days in the market are there? When I'm systemizing my business, I have to stay up to date on the changes and how I could actually tweak my system to get better. That's why I'm fortunate enough, even with my VA company, my virtual assistant company, on when I'm testing things in my own business, it relates to, right, everyone else's business. So that's the cool part of how that happens.
All right, Bob. So tell me, what do you think the biggest changes are in the market? Obviously, the markets are shifting. I mean, in the investment world, the flip world, why are profits down? That's what we're talking about.
Yep. In my opinion, I think it's buyers out, or the sellers out there are more educated.
Got it.
I think you and I talked about that a little more. You got online technology websites, right? Zillow, yes, et cetera, that are really putting a big push, right, on educating sellers, because they're getting into that world, right?
Right, right.
Now, think about this. When was the last time you actually got a seller lead and they're like, well, my house next door sold for X amount of money, right?
Yep.
That's the difference. They're more and more educated on that. But I think that's a positive thing, right? Because the more challenging things get, the more money I'll make in the end, because more people drop out, right? That's just,
you mean
how
agents
that
aren't, like, you mean the competition that aren't educated, and not competition in terms of sellers, but competition in terms of other agents or other wholesalers or investors? Yeah, I totally agree.
And that's why I think, And that's why I think it's really, really important for everybody to stay connected, stay educated, right?
Yep.
Join masterminds, join coaching programs, you know, get, just stay within, you know, communities of individuals that are doing it. I'm a huge fan of that.
Yeah, that's a fantastic point. Education, it's in today's market and today's industry and today's economy in the real estate world, you have to be educated. If you are not educating on a weekly basis to find out what's going on around you, whether you're a single agent, a team owner, an investor, a wholesaler, a flipper, just a, you know, multifamily buyer, you're hurting yourself. You're definitely hurting yourself.
And staying plugged in. I think that's really, really important to stay plugged into,
right,
you know, different communities, right? You know, your local market, whether it's a local real estate investing association or your meetup group that you're running, it's with other individuals.
Yeah, other like-minded individuals,
right,
that are challenging and pushing you, that's to be right, better, and you're pushing them to be better. Yeah, that's a huge differentiation for sure. Yep.
Like, so
what we were talking about this earlier before we started recording, what do you think is going to happen to, I mean, the industry 5 years ago was not what it is today, and technology is speeding this thing up big time. So in, let's say 3 to 5 years from now, what happens to the average, regular, standard sale agent? What do you think is going to happen?
I personally think it's going to get more and more and more difficult for them to make money. You know, there's so many things. There's when everything goes more and more customer service, right?
Yeah.
That means it has more tasks and more things for one person to do. So when you have a team, now you get to outsource certain things. Like, as an example, let's say I'm a single agent. I have 10 listings, right? Each and every one of those listings, I have a laundry list of things I have to do, right? However, if you have a team, now what you do is you create the tasks for each team, right? This person's going to do this. This person's going to do this. This person's, that allows you to leverage each other to now grow those listings from 10 to 100 as an example, right? So I think, and this is just my opinion. I could be 100% wrong, but it's just my opinion.
Your opinion's not far off of many others who, like you, who are industry experts, industry leaders, who are saying the exact same thing. I mean, a lot of the interviews that we've done in the last 2 to 3 weeks, they've all said the same thing. Education is key. Agents that are not leveraging, they're not learning how to run a business, they're not building and or joining teams, they're going to go by the wayside in some capacity because the clients demand more. And agents, there's only so much time that you have. And if you want to scale up, you got to have leverage, which brings us to our next topic, which is your company, Riva Global, which is a virtual assistant staffing company, which is, I'm extremely curious about this because I have some virtual assistants now and I need to scale up. And so I'm all ears, man. We're the audience right now. So tell us about Riva.
You know, In my opinion, it's one of the premier companies. And again, obviously I'm biased because I own a company, but we service both agents and investors, right?
Okay.
So without doing a sales pitch, what I like to say is real estate's simple, right? And it's really broken down into a simple 5-step process. So whether, you know, you're an agent, whether you're an investor, whether you're a property manager, you know, the way I look at it is there's tasks on your desk right now that anybody other than you should be doing. What I mean by that is anything over phone or the internet, we should be outsourcing. So if I'm an agent and I have to sit down on my butt, right, to do work, that should be outsourced, right? So, you know, I created, and this is the giveaway that I'll give, that I gave you guys. It's a checklist. It's a 4-step checklist to freedom. And what it does, and this is what I talk about all the time, whether you're an investor or an agent, they ask me, they say, Bob, you know I need help. I say, okay, cool. My first question I say is, what's the biggest pain point in your business? Very simple.
Yeah.
And then everybody's going to tell you exactly what that answer is, right? And what I said, I think I said this a little bit before, it falls into one of two categories. It's either they want a better life balance, right?
Yeah.
Which means more time, or they want to grow their business, which means they want to make more money. But they'll give me that answer, and then I'll give them exactly what tasks that they could outsource.
Love that. And so I know that my biggest fear, let's say, or barrier to entry with the VA world was that I was afraid to give up control.
Yeah.
I was afraid to let go that, who's this person on the other side or the other side of the world, you know, like in a different, completely different time zone than me. And they're going to deal with my clients, and are my clients going to trust them? Are they going to make me look bad? I mean, those were all my thoughts. Are those the same things that you experience from people like kind of barriering or getting through that barrier?
100%. And, you know, starting a company, that was the first thing I thought of. I'm like, well, why would anybody, you know, trust anybody? Why would they do this?
Right.
View of what's going on now and where we're at in our industry, in the world, a lot of things, big companies are cutting costs and everything's going virtual.
Yeah.
Means that there's more trust and more trust factor, right? For me, I had a tough time cutting a cord for sure, right? It's like, nobody could do it better than me, right? Nobody could do it better. I'm the best at this one particular task.
But that's a limiting mindset, and that's not scalable.
100%. And yeah, that's exactly where I was going with that. You have, you know, you have two different mindsets. And if you have that limited mindset, you're going to stay where you're at. You're going to stay small. You're going to be stressed. You're going to be overworked, right? You're going to be, hey, I'm not going to let you do anything because I do it better. What happens to the body at the time and the mind is you get burnt out.
Oh, right? Yeah. Yeah.
We talked a little bit about outbound dialing, right?
Oh.
Our guys did it in the office and they got burnt out, right?
Yeah, they did.
So when I first started,
500 phone calls a day to people that don't necessarily want to talk to you.
Exactly.
Yeah, man. It just starts to take a little piece of your soul every day. And then eventually you're like, you're hollowed out and you get in. You're like, all right, I can't make the calls anymore.
Yeah. And you're like, you know what? Now I don't want to go to work.
Right. Right. Right.
You know, for me, when I first started, I told that. And when I got home after door knocking, I would skip trace and then outbound dial too. So
damn,
when you couple that, yeah, dude, for a year straight, I was pretty gassed. And then what I did was I replaced myself and added someone else in. But to get back to what you were talking about, it's the same concept, right? There's no reason why any one of us, whether you're an agent or an investor, do outbound dialing. No
right.
reason at all, because you're going to hate what you do, right? Period, period, period. So like I was getting, like I was saying before, so the five-step process, your marketing is number one, right? Your lead intake is number two.
Yep.
Deal analyzing, offer, and selling, right? Those are the same five things, no matter what, if you're an agent or an investor, it falls somewhere within those buckets, right?
What was three and four?
Three and four is deal analysis, like running comps.
Yep.
And then making an offer, right? So writing contracts. That's it. That's exactly what one of your virtual assistants are doing for you guys, right?
Right. Yeah. Because that's what we wanted to figure out was, and I learned this analogy, and he's going to be listening to this podcast. So a friend of mine said to me, because I said, look, you know, my dad always taught me in business that you should teach all the people that you lead to catch the fish and give them fish. And he said, well, what if they don't want to catch or find fish or learn how to do it? What if they just want to man the grill? And I was like, huh, that's very interesting. And so I think about that now, and I need people. Like if you're dialed into just manning the grill, and because that's the clients don't care where you got the fish necessarily. They don't care who the hell caught the fish. They want to know who's on that grill and putting the spice on and bringing it to your table.
Right.
And that's the agent. The agent's the one dealing with the client. So why should they be going to catch the fish? They just need to cook them.
And that's going back to exactly what you said. It's letting go to some of the tasks, right?
Right.
You are the best at what you do, right? Whatever that thing is.
Right.
I thought I used to be the best in everything, but I'm not, right? I mean, we're only kidding ourselves if we think we're the best at those things, right? And I always like to say, do what you do best and outsource the rest, right? Do what you do best and outsource the rest, right? Because you can only do so much stuff in your day.
What about the, and I'm sure you deal with this, having this company, the agents that are kind of stuck, and I think we've all been there at a certain point in our internal growth of ourselves to be able to grow our businesses. What do you say to the agent that's like, yeah, I know I need to do that, and I know I need to scale up, but I don't want to spend the money over here, and I don't trust the time, I don't trust this person over here, and I need these clients. And they're like, you hear that like resistance mode, right? What do you do when an agent's in resistance mode? How do you help them get into action to take a step forward? Because you know when they look back, they're going to be like, God, thank God I did that.
Well, we have a lot of clients that are actually like that. And I'll have this talk, right? I'll have them a motivational talk to say, listen, how much you want to grow? What are your goals, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Try to build a plan for them. And they won't do it. right? They'll come back a year later like, dude, Bob, I wish I did it, right? Right. You can only push somebody so far, right? If you're, think about this, if you're mentoring someone in your office, a new acquisition person or whatever, right? And you tell them what to do, they don't do it, they don't do it, they don't do it. And finally they implement it and they're like, dude, I wish I would have done that a long time ago,
right? Right.
It's every individual is different. Like, that's why I love dealing with athletes. Athletes have they're wired a little different because they're always, they come from a world where the coach tells them what to do and they do it.
Right.
So that's the beauty of dealing with like-minded individuals. You gotta, you know, we do a lot of DISC profiling, behavioral profiling with all of our virtual assistants. So we know, you know, if you have a high D and high I, guess what? They're going to be very good on the phones.
Right.
If you're high S, high C, don't put them on the phones because they're not, they're going to quit tomorrow.
Yeah. Or today.
Or today. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think that's important that, you know, you could only do as much as you can to educate, to train, and try to push. Not everybody's going to be ready at the same time.
Right.
And when they do, they will go back to you and say, you know, I wish I did that. I wish I did that. That's something I wake up in the morning every day is, you know, it's kind of like when you want that next sale and you don't make that next phone call, right?
Right.
You're kicking yourself. It's kind of the same concept to where, you know what, I know if I'm, now I can manage my VAs. If I'm not going to make that next call, I'm going to make sure my VAs are calling all day long.
Right, right. So, and then what do you say to somebody who says, I'm the only one that can do that? That's a very dangerous mindset in any business. Very dangerous. Or my clients only want me.
Yep. Well, I mean, that again, that goes back to that limited belief. I have a lot of case studies that have individuals just like that and say, you know what? What is your end goal? I'll start with that. What is that end goal? I'm the only one that could do it. Okay, well, what is your end goal? Is your end goal really to grow your business? Or is your end goal to work 24 hours a day? Guess what? If your end goal is to work 24 hours a day, my answer is you're right. Right. Nobody's better than you.
Right.
You're right. And then I also say, listen, you know, with that belief, I used to have that belief as well. I'm sure you probably did as well, right?
Yep.
That belief will only get you so far. And you could push someone. And I mean, I know for me, I'm only as good as my team, right?
You 100%.
Know, I look at the company that I built with my virtual assistant company, you know, my departments over there, my team, it gets better and better and better every year. And I think it boils down to the training that you give them to get them better, right? And I can't remember who I was talking about. It could have been you. Were we talking about the individuals? No, I wasn't talking to you about this one. But I was actually talking to my buddy that came over last night. We had a couple drinks. We were watching a hockey game. So we were talking about, hey, it does not matter at all the resume that you have. Like, I don't give a crap about a resume.
Right,
if I think you're coachable and I think that you could actually attain the goals that we set for you, dude, yeah. I'll bring you on a team all day long, right?
So let's dig into that for a second, because I mentor and coach a lot of people in this business, and I always tell them, even people I bring on here, people that I usually don't bring on, they'll ask me why, and I'll say, because I believe that you're not coachable and you don't have a great attitude about coachability. Can you speak a little bit more on that? Because there are a lot of younger, maybe like the millennial out there that says, I don't know, I can do all this stuff myself. I got this. I got technology behind me. Coachability is key. Anybody will hire you no matter what your skill set if you're coachable and you have a great attitude.
You know what? I'll add to that too. It's also never burn a bridge.
Yeah, yeah.
You never burn a bridge. And when you're younger, it's pretty interesting because you never look at what's tomorrow, what's 2 years, what's 3 years, what's 4 years ahead. And it's the same thing with real estate investors, right? It's a shiny object syndrome, right? They'll start in wholesaling, they'll jump in rehab, and they'll go over here, they'll go over here, they'll go over here, right? You got to make sure that you hone in on that thing, right? But to take a step back and get back into coachability, I coach my three kids right now in ice hockey, right? My oldest is 15, my middle girl is 11, my youngest is 9. And I look at the older kids right now, the 15-year-olds, which we'll get to what we're talking about, right? And if they think they know what they're doing and they won't listen to you anymore, what happens is they'll get less ice time.
Right.
They'll get less production on the ice because they'll turn the puck over at the blue line and they'll score against us. Same thing with you know, if you have a new acquisition person that comes in and they think they know what they're doing without asking for your help.
Yes.
Here's a good thing though. Let them fail. Right. And I think that failure is the best thing. So if you mentor someone, you say, listen, I'm going to help you. I'm going to guide you along the way. And I'm telling you, if you do it this way, this will happen. If you do it this way, this most likely will happen.
Yep. Right. I think
the best way to mentor someone is to educate them. And when they fall flat on their face, if they don't pick themselves up and say, hey, now I understand what you're saying, get rid of them.
Yeah. Yep. You're right. You're totally right about that.
Go ahead. And another thing is, a little thing is, don't over talk somebody, right? If you have a mentor and you have and let them talk and let them educate you, because they've already gone through it and they're trying to help you. So if we're talking the younger generation, please open your ears. Please listen to the people that actually have done it and gone through it, because that's going to be best for you later on in life.
Yeah, and I don't mean younger just in age. Younger could be in experience too. I mean, you could be 50 years old getting into a new business, right, and be open, be coachable, be open to what someone who has, you know, 20 years experience, as long as they are where you would like to be, or they have a light. So that's the other thing. It's not just about production. If someone has a lifestyle that I like, I want to know how they did that, and I'm gonna follow them. I'm actually gonna follow more someone that has the lifestyle that I want than the business or the money that I'm looking at, because obviously the lifestyle is a result of, but the guy that's living the lifestyle and not just talking about the business, that's where I want to be.
And so the age thing is pretty interesting. You're 100% right. Cause what you see is sometimes in the older generation, they're going to be jumping into real estate, right? So whether it's agent side or investing side, and the more coachable that we all are, I mean, I'm 45 now, right? And I always look at, you know, every individual I speak to, like this we're bantering back and forth. I learn a lot by this, right? If you have an open mind and you have a lens, I always look at it. If you could change your lens one little click with every interaction you have, you're going to be 10 times better off later on.
Yeah, very true. Very true. So let me ask you this. If you could... So Pat has this question where he asks, like, which regarding your number one source, like, how could you help someone get into like action, like production right away? But like using the virtual assistant platform, like starting today, every single one of these podcasts, Pat and I get private messages from people, DMs from people, emails from people. They got it. It clicked with them. And so somebody's listening to this right now and they're at that point of like, I got to do something different. I've got to do something different. What are their next action steps? What should they do? I mean, obviously call you. That's preferable.
Yeah. No, call me first.
Call you.
What I would actually, and here's what I would do. And I talk to every business owner and I say the same thing, you know, write down what your biggest pain points are. So for instance, if your lead generation is what's slacking or lacking in your business, right? Is it your social media presence? Is your presence out there? Because, you know, in I talk about this a lot about social media, and one of the things that a lot of people drop the ball on, if you don't have a presence out there and people have no idea who you are, right, they're not going to work with you. So for instance, you know, if you see a new business, where's typically the first place you go to look up to see if they're actually in business?
Facebook,
right? The internet. Yep. So if you don't have a presence on Facebook or LinkedIn, obviously in the business side of it, and that just means posting something a couple times a week, right? That's just a presence. That's because, you know, think about this as a real estate agent or investor. If I see your name, I'm going to go to Facebook. I am going to Google it. And if I see you haven't posted in a year, I'm going to be like, this dude's not in business.
Right.
They're not active. They're not. And that has to do with, you know, private lenders, hard money lenders, right? Other investors, other agents, buyers, sellers, they look at all of that stuff right away.
They totally do.
Yep. So that would be a pain point for a lot of people is I don't have a social media presence, right? My lead generation is not there. Okay. Well then if your lead generation is not there, give us a call and we'll help you look at some of those tools that are actually useful, where those lists are, what people are using, et cetera. And we'll get you plugged in with one of our VAs that knows what they're doing there.
Got it. And then what about the fear of, and I want to go back to a couple other action steps that people can take, but what about the fear of, But what if the VA just like fails and they leave? Like, what do I do? If you, we took 2 weeks, we trained this person and they left in a week and now I'm back to square one. What happens then?
Well, it's actually interesting you say that, because we train our VAs on, so I like to call it the 80-20 rule. So we have a month training for our virtual assistants. First of all, on the recruiting side, we send them through a 4-step process. We do background checks, disc profiling. All of our VAs have 4-year education, right? College degrees. When they come to us, so through that process, and then it jumps to our training team, which we have a 4-week training platform where they do a bunch of stuff, running comps, outbound dialing, learning how to write contracts, etc. So within that month of time, then they go to our placements team, which they do a disc profile, right? So which now we know when our client comes exactly what they're looking for. If they want outbound dialing, we make sure we line them up with a high D, high I, et cetera, right? And then our operations team, so what they do is we have a business coach on top of our VA/client, I should say. So we have a individual who manages the VA and client relationship. So what happens is if a VA doesn't show up to work, we have a backup VA to actually plug in to what they're doing. So we have that, we have the option. So let's say the VA resigns for whatever reason. They're sick, they have family issues, whatever it is. Then we just go into our pool of VAs and replace them. So the pain right there,
fair enough,
a lot less, right? And the reason why I say this is because, you know, I've gotten VAs before I started this that actually did that, right? I worked with them 3 weeks, 4 weeks, all of a sudden, boom, gone.
Yep.
I'm like, where the freak are they, right? Where the freak are they? And all of a sudden now, I had to go through the whole process of finding resumes, sifting through resumes, interviewing every blah, 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 blah. So now we cut all of that pain point out.
I don't know what I was so scared of before. Now, like now looking back at it, it was, you have to just take action. Obviously I knew what I was scared of, but I see it as just a learning piece, because when I had to go through those same things, like the VAs just quit and I'm like, okay, well, that sucks. Well, I can either stop or I can go back and maybe I'll find a different company, or maybe I'll find a different source, or maybe I'll try and hire myself and train in-house, whatever. So it's nice to have a company that can take care of all that stuff for you. What is one of your biggest pain points in your business right now?
So one of my biggest pain points, I would actually say the contractor side, right? Okay. I think a lot of people so I'm just going to put my investor hat on, right? And not only myself, it's finding a good contractor. You know, the last flip I just had, I had a painter that was horrible, right? It's just it is what it is, right? I had my main guy move to Florida, right? So they've been, it's the contractor world, because, hey, let me give you a good tip too. For me, it's a contractor world, but you ever go to thumbtack.com?
Yeah, I love Thumbtack.
Dude, unbelievable. Yep. I just hired someone from Thumbtack and they're phenomenal. So I just, not to change the subject, but from the answer was it's contractors.
No, but you know what? You hit on a great point. I've never brought this up on this podcast. Let's talk about Thumbtack for like a minute, because I think we're running on an hour here. Let's talk about Thumbtack for a minute. I just hired a person to teach me how to play the piano on thumbtack.com. So for those of you that haven't heard it, it's called thumbtack.com, thumbtack.com. They have an app. Literally anything that you need leveraged or taught to you or done for you, Thumbtack got it. From a full house renovation to someone to teach you piano to a painter. Yeah. What did you use them for? Painting?
I did, did a good painting and also power washing.
Oh, power washing. Okay. Yeah.
So my wife just said, dude, this morning, I love Thumbtack. Kyle called me last night because we needed we have a backyard sport court and we needed someone to come power wash it, because in the wintertime, we put an ice rink on it. And we had the a bunch of mold and slippery and all that kind of stuff. So, so we went to Thumbtack and got someone to power wash. He's coming over.
Love it. And you know what? If they don't come over, or if they do a bad job, you rate them on Thumbtack, and Thumbtack basically trashes them,
right,
or cans them and like takes them out. Great, great point. That was a great point. I'm glad you brought that up.
So the answer was contractors. So that was the
biggest pain point, contractors. What are you doing to solve it?
Yep.
So we all have that.
Yeah. I have a lot of investor buddies. Now we're starting to work more with each other to say, hey, this is a great painter. This is a great, and I think that's the best way. It's your network, right? Your network is your net worth, right? So that's
it. So books, podcasts, what are you reading now? You mentioned you read a lot now. What are you reading?
I, This is the newest one. It's called the Happiness Advantage.
Oh, I like that.
Positive brain fuels success in life and work.
Who's that by?
That is by Sean Aker, I think.
Happiness Advantage by Sean Aker.
Is it Aker? Aker?
Yep.
What's my my other one is, where is it? It's actually on top of my, underneath my computer. It's Drive. Oh. Yeah, it's Drive.
Is Drive. Okay. And then what other podcasts do you listen to?
You know, a lot of them are Cash Flow Diary. You got Flipping Success. I actually love, and this is a great one for me, is MF CEO by Andy Frisella.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the language is yeah. Hey, I'm from a hockey locker room, so I love that language, and it's second nature to me, but it's an incredible podcast. And I'm a huge fan of a lot of different, obviously your podcast is incredible. I listen to it all the time.
Thank you.
Yep, I would rank yours number one, and then MFC number two, and then so on and so forth. But I'm a huge podcast junkie because, you know, and I take notes on a lot of podcasts because I think it's really, really important. There's some great takeaways. I mean, great resources you can learn from podcasts.
Yeah, you know, someone's story has so many pieces in it that you can part together or piece together into your own life and just take a little tiny chunk here and a little tiny chunk there and a big chunk over here. And then the next interview, you listen to this one, and it's really good to hear other people's stories, for sure.
Another podcast called Wealth Fit is really, really good. It goes cross-grain on real estate and investing and things like that. So check that out. That one's pretty good, too. You might like it.
Definitely. So what do you do in your downtime?
Coach my kids. Hang out with my kids. Play a little golf as well. Well, I haven't played enough golf, but golfing would be one, and coaching my kids and running after them.
I love that. So Bob LaChance, you're going to leave us with the four-item checklist of freedom.
Yep.
Where can people find you?
They could email me direct at bob@revaglobal.com. Check out my website, revaglobal.com, revaglobal.com. And you can find us on Facebook. I left our Facebook page there, our Instagram page. So you can find me everywhere. So just those are my best contact.
So everybody, you can check out hybendigital.com for all of Bob's contact details, a picture, the four-item checklist of freedom, more information on Reba Global, you name it. Bob, it was a pleasure having you, man. It was really fun talking to you. We probably could go another hour at least.
Yeah, we could. I told you before this, I could talk forever. So
I know. I really wanted to get more into the investing. You know what? Let's have you back. And we'll only talk about the investment stuff, how you structure, how you set up. Well, I'll set that up with you. I'm gonna shoot you an email, and then, like Pat always says, next time I'm up in Connecticut, man, I'm gonna look you up, get a hockey lesson from you.
Absolutely, the door's always open. Appreciate it.
Thanks, man. Really appreciate your time today.
Thanks a lot, man.
All right, take care.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Real Estate Rockstars. If this free content is giving you a ton of value, I want to ask a small favor in return. I need you to pull out your pointing finger and hit the subscribe button. Yes, hit subscribe, please. The more subscribers that we get on Real Estate Rockstars, the better guests are attracted to the shows. We'll get more guests from the top companies, from the top teams, and even more celebrity guests like Robert Kiyosaki and Barbara Corcoran. Also, if you're not a member of our free Facebook group, go to Real Estate Rockstars Radio right on Facebook and join the conversation. I'm on there myself on FaceTime Lives, and we have a lot of communications and questions about the show, and I'd love to see you there. And it's free. People ask me all the time, where am I on social media? I'm real easy to find. Just type in my name. My IG is I am Pat Hyben. It is blowing up on Instagram, adding tons of subscribers, and I'm on there probably twice a day. So definitely follow me on Instagram as well as everywhere else. Thanks again for listening, and keep rocking.